disinformation is deliberately trying to lead you away from something. What's going on in Silicon Valley is simply a form of alchemy. It is the ongoing occult quest for immortality in electronic form. You cannot have a revolution without a conspiracy, because if you don't, you'll be hanging by noon. I mean, that's why, you know, one of the founding fathers said, we either all hang together or we hang separately. All conspiracies are not theories, in the same way that secret societies are not imaginary.
Yo, what up? It's Donut, and you tuning in to All Your Illuminati News. And we have a special guest. I am so grateful that you're here. Dr. Rick Spence is with us today. We've been covering secret societies. You've been teaching this, writing books. You're an author, and I just finished your great course. Truly enjoyed it.
I'm a retired professor of history at the University of Idaho. I taught the University of Idaho for about 35 years. And I guess the question is, how does an American academic get interested in things like secret societies? It's sort of one thing leads you to another. My main sort of, you know, set piece academic interest is in modern Russian history. And when you begin to look at modern Russian history, inevitably you run across the Russian Revolution is the big event that went into that. And what do revolutions involve? Well, they involve conspiracies. They always do. One of the things I'd often note to students is that you cannot have a revolution without a conspiracy, because if you don't, you'll be hanging by noon. And that also brings us back to this question is, you know, what is a conspiracy? Because that term gets thrown around, you know, it's like fascist, all right? And people use the term and generally have no idea what it actually means. It is two or more people, have to have two, one person cannot conspire. It's two or more people working together secretly to achieve a common end. The reason you want to do it secretly is because it makes it easier. And the one thing you can very clearly observe is that the bigger the committee is, the less it will accomplish. I actually had a mathematics friend of mine who actually came up with this calculation, which was probably a joke, maybe not, that for every additional person you add to a committee, its aggregate intelligence drops by 5%. This is what the basic purpose of any kind of a good conspiracy is you're trying to rig the system. You're trying generally to get the result that you want by involving as few people together. I mean, there's nothing weird about conspiracies. People do it all the time.
America was founded through a conspiracy, revolution.
It was founded through a revolutionary conspiracy. All right. I mean, that's why, you know, one of the founding fathers said, we either all hang together or we hang separately. It also involved a lot of breaking of sacred oaths, since all of those men who made the American Revolution had at one point sworn an oath of loyalty to the king, which they now decided it was okay to betray because they created something more important.
Secret societies aren't freakish sideshows in history. Rather, they are usually at the very heart of it.
Yeah.
Secret societies are all around us. They always have been, and they always will be.
I stand by both of those. I think those are pretty well tested by time. What usually deters, in a lot of modern conversations, conspiracy is almost always followed by the word theory or theorists. A theory is just a sort of story which someone has made up. Because that's what history is, by the way. That's also just a bunch of stories that, to a certain degree, have been made up. Conspiracy as a word and as an idea is something that stands apart from theory. There are plenty of conspiracy theories. That is, once you've established that there are conspiracies and that people do conspire on a regular and natural basis, then you can begin to theorize about different conspiracies. So let's take, for instance, the JFK assassination. God knows how many theories there are about that. Is there a conspiracy involved? Well, you know, I'll agree with the, congressional investigation in the 70s that, yeah, okay, when they said that, you know, President Kennedy appears to have been assassinated by a conspiracy, but we don't know which one. I think that's pretty much where things stand. You've got an action that appears to be the result of some sort of conspiratorial action, but you don't know whose it is, which means the conspirators have done this very well. You can't pin it on anyone. Now, on the other hand, let's take another political conspiracy straight out of American history, the assassination of Abraham Lincoln. Well, that was a conspiracy. Okay, it's not just one crazy guy, John Wilkes Booth, although sometimes you can get that. That's a simple version of the story. Booth was part of a very large conspiracy, linked, in fact, to the Confederate government and to the whole Southern cause. I mean, there was a political agenda which was at work, and they actually had a much bigger conspiratorial plan in mind than just assassinating Lincoln. That is not a conspiracy theory. That is a conspiracy fact. That is, there you got an example of a real conspiracy that plotted and carried out the murder of a sitting American president. If you want another example, I'd give you the conspiracy that ignited World War I, the single most influential event in modern history. And that was when, again, a group of political conspirators working in secret to achieve their goal, murdered the Archduke Franz Ferdinand. That's not a conspiracy theory. It's a conspiracy fact.
And there's all these secret societies, the Black Hand connected to that. And then John Wilkes Booth's grandfather, part of the Hell's Fire Club.
Other people think that Booth was working at the Knights of the Golden Circle, which was a secret society, which in many ways was very influential in the founding of the Confederacy and in the neo-Confederate movement that followed. Most of this, it isn't very clear because it's never supposed to be clear, because it goes back that one of the things you're trying to do in a conspiracy is to keep things out of sight. You don't want outside influences coming in. So you're working to achieve these things in secret, very often because what you're doing is illegal or criminal.
If you're enjoying this video, make sure to smash that like button. Check out all of Dr. Rick Spence's book, Secret Agent 666, plus his great courses of the real history of secret societies, Secrets of the Occult, and all of his other books. Go get them. Links down below. Also, if you do enjoy this content, get the full uncensored video with Dr. Spence. We do these live streams over on the Patreon. Get early access plus hundreds and hundreds of videos. All you got to do, go to the Patreon and join this cheaper than a bag of Skittles. Just click this right here, join. The information will pop up. You fill it out, and then you'll access all these awesome videos. Let's get back into the video.
Disinformation is not accidental. Misinformation is a mistake. It's an error. Disinformation is deliberately trying to lead you away from something. It is a kind of deliberate deceit. Lead the hounds away from the fox. But to work, to be really good, disinformation must be largely true. See, there have to be parts of it you can look at. It has to seem to make sense. It has to be plausible, and some of it needs to be confirmable. See, you can check this out. It's true. But what disinformation will contain is a poison pill. It will contain one element, maybe, that is the key thing that is going to lead you to an incorrect conclusion or action. So misinformation is just bad information. Disinformation is that which is deliberately deceptive and misleading.
A secret society park, the Rosicrucian Park in Silicon Valley. You got the PayPal Mafia, right? It's the same thing as a secret society. What's your thoughts on Silicon Valley now and the tech elites?
Well, that's interesting. The main sort of thrust of a lot of modern tech is towards the development of AI. Okay, remember that was something that 10 years ago people just were mostly talking about as a theoretical thing. Now it's here. It is going to become increasingly sophisticated over time. So one of the things you're trying to do with AI is you're trying to create artificial life. It's Frankenstein. Okay, it's just you're not using dead bodies from the graveyard anymore. You're using, bits and bytes in order to create an artificial being. And ideally, a being which will be able to think and act, not just on a human level, but on a superhuman level. Because one of the things that AI is not bound by are our biological limitations. And our chief biological limitation is that we have a shelf life. Okay, you know, whether or not there's spheres beyond, you know, the point is that in this particular realm that we're about, we're only here for a relatively short period of time. We die. You know, to people who particularly think of themselves as geniuses, that's always a very frustrating thing. You know, why should I die? Why can't I just keep going on and inventing more things? And if I can then come up with an intelligence, if I can replicate humanity without biology, I've thus created an immortal being. An immortal being which is not only everything intellectually capable of humans are, but even beyond that. What's going on in Silicon Valley is simply a form of alchemy. Whenever you say alchemy, you know, it's like conspiracy theory. People, oh, they're going to turn lead into gold. Now, that was a parlor trick. It was always a parlor trick. The only reason why alchemists even played that parlor trick was that they could get gullible people to give them money to carry on their real research. That's something to keep in mind in terms of having a kind of hidden agenda or having an agenda which is being worked in secret. Pretend to be outwardly appear to be developing one thing and you're getting funding, but the real purpose is something else. The real purpose of AI is not to permit college students to cheat on research papers. That's not why it's being invented. It's being invented, I think, and the chief thing is because it opens up this whole gate of transhumanism, of overcoming biological limitations, of immortality. Well, you know, if you want to play around with this, take it all the way back to Genesis, all right? Let's go back to Genesis. Let's go back to the story of creation and of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. You know, this giant terrarium, which God has created for his pets to put them in. And there, you know, there's that whole thing about those two trees, okay? First, you put them in the terrarium, they tell you, you can eat everything, but don't touch these things. Now, let's be sure to draw attention to what you're not supposed to do. Then, first of all, they eat of the tree of knowledge and, you know, apparently kind of wise up to some degree. But then you can go through and have people, you can take whatever version of the words may vary. But at one point, you know, when the serpent comes along, who is who exactly? You know, what are they doing? Good guy, bad guy? And says, well, you know, there's the tree of life. Now, what will eating of the tree of life do for Adam and Eve? It will grant them immortality. And this is where you have, I don't know, God or gods, you know, you have Elohim saying that we cannot let the man eat of the tree of the life or they will gain immortal life and they will become like us. And we can't let that happen. In the legacy of alchemy, in the whole sort of occult doctrine of alchemy that develops, the purpose of alchemy, the ultimate goal is not to turn lead into gold. It is to obtain what was stolen from Adam in Eden. And what was stolen from Adam in Eden? What did God deny to Adam? Immortality. Because once we have that, we will have infinite time to research all things and all knowledge will be ours. And when we know everything, the argument goes, we will be God. In alchemy, they talk about the great work, the magnum opus, the great work. And the great work, again, is not turning base metals into gold. It's turning yourself into a higher state of being. It is ascending the limitations of humanity. Ultimately, it's becoming God or godlike. And I don't really, you know, I wouldn't even necessarily say that there are people in Silicon Valley who consciously know what they're doing, but they're doing it. Okay, it's the same work. It is the great work of alchemy. It is to restore to Adam what was stolen from him, what was denied him in Eden. This is the same work which is going on. The ability eventually to download human consciousness into a kind of digitized form. There again, immortality. Mm-hmm. That's what it's about. It is the ongoing occult quest for immortality in electronic form.
Thank you so much. I am so grateful to have this time with you. Well, I got all your links down below. Make sure you smash that like button and subscribe. Much love and God bless you.